It's been such a special privilege to us to be here with you. All through the time, I felt like pinching myself to be sure that it was real. We had come so recently from South Africa. Last week, I could say we had come last week, but now it's we're into a new week, and this is an experience that we'll never forget. We're so grateful to the Lord and grateful for the opportunity to meet you folk and to fellowship together. And some have already gone on their way already. And so we're just greatly enriched, greatly blessed, and grateful to the Lord. And in this last message that I have this morning, I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart a message about faithfulness. That is the response that He's looking for from all of His people. And I won't actually read from Revelation 2, but to the church in Smyrna, the words of the Lord was, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And over the centuries, some of the Lord's people have had to face terrible persecution, and some of them have become martyrs. They've been faithful unto death. And it's wonderful how that the Lord watches over His people and gives them grace, that whatever the pathway is before them, they're able to take that pathway and prove His faithfulness and be faithful. And that needs to be our goal, that in our walk with the Lord, that we would be faithful to Him right to the very conclusion of our lives, till we draw our last breath. And that is my prayer before the Lord. Then also in Matthew 25, Jesus gives the story about the parable about the talents from verse 14. And there again, I won't take the time to turn to it. I think we're all quite familiar with it. But this is a different kind of faithfulness. This is a faithfulness in respect to something that has been entrusted. And the Lord's purpose is that He has something, a talent, something that He would entrust to every single one of us. And as we know from the parable of the talents, that it's different. Some were given more than others, and it's a diversity. It's not all the same. And when we compare ourselves with one another, it's not a good thing, because the Lord's pathway and purpose for each one of us is different. And but He does have a work for us. He does entrust to us things that He would have us to do. And in that, He wants us to be faithful. And now, in order to illustrate this, I would like to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. To me, it's such a wonderful thing where in chapter 3, we read about Jesus and Moses. And Moses is both compared and contrasted with the Lord Jesus. And I found some things here that I'd like to share with you that have been very enriching to me. In verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling." So it does seem like we are on the same theme, right to the heavenly calling. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So this is a wonderful epitaph of Moses. And when we think of what might be an epitaph for ourselves, I think this would be a wonderful goal if the Lord could say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And now with Moses, that was not always the case. And I'd like to just take a few moments this morning to look into Moses' experience. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, as he is defending himself, he gives us some insights into Moses that we don't read in Exodus. And he tells us, you know, about how that Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. And that amazes me, because we read about Moses that he was slow of speech. And I don't know if he stuttered or what his problem was, but it was difficult for him to speak. But what we read from Stephen shows us that he was powerful in speech and action. Maybe he was powerful in the sense that he had great authority, and so what he said would take place as a prince of Egypt. Or maybe in his younger years he might have been a great orator, and maybe 40 years in the desert just did something to him that he wasn't used to speaking very much anymore. I really don't know what this is referring to, except that Moses had a very, very privileged background, and he had all the advantages of his privileged upbringing. I wonder if he might have been voted as the most likely to succeed of his university class when they were about to go through their graduation. You know, these things one wonders about. The scripture continues, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. And as I pondered that, as I thought about that, I felt, why should they think that? We see that Moses found his identity as a fellow Israelite, and that was good. In avenging the mistreated Israelite, he thought his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue him. But that, I don't think that was good, because he hadn't got any commission from God at all at that time. And so I believe that that was presumption. And as I pondered this, the idea, and I connected it with the idea of faithfulness, we cannot be faithful to something that has not been entrusted to us. And at that point, nothing had been entrusted to Moses. And so he was presuming that God was going to use him. In our text, referring to Jesus, it says he was faithful to the one who appointed him. Jesus was not on his own mission, but he was sent by the Father. And so he had been appointed, but at this time, no one had appointed Moses. He was self-appointed, presuming that God would use him. And the result was that Moses had to flee for his life into the desert, where he married and worked for his father-in-law for 40 years. And so when you contrast that with all the advantages that Moses had in the beginning, and how that there was the expectation that he would be a man who would achieve mighty things, here we see this prince of Egypt, or former prince of Egypt, wandering around in the desert. And amazingly, when we pick up the story again in Exodus chapter 3, it tells us that Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And to me, this is quite amazing, because one would think that by 40 years he might have his own flock of sheep, but he didn't. He only was looking after the flock of someone else, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Here we have a most amazing picture of Moses, that this man, with all his education and with all his privileged background, he was now reduced to a lowly shepherd. But the thing is that God was watching all the time. And I think it mattered how he shepherded the flock. And if he had been unfaithful in shepherding his father-in-law's flock, I think that we would have heard nothing more of Moses at all. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, looking for someone that he can use, someone who is faithful, someone who will be a servant, someone who will not just try to do his own thing, but who will can receive a trust and then be faithful to that trust, whether it is small or whether it is large, whatever it is. Remember in the story of the talents, the man who received one talent, he must have been quite offended because the others got more than he, and so he just went and buried it. But the Lord wants us to be faithful with what he gives to us. And even though it may be small, he's watching, and he's looking for faithfulness on the part of each one of us. So we see that after 40 years, and that's quite a long time in a person's life, after 40 years, now he was 80 years old, he met the Lord at the burning bush. And the Lord called to him out of the bush, and Moses said, "Here am I." And the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for this place where you're standing is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. This has reached to me, so now go, I am sending you." And that is amazing. That's wonderful, because that is the commission right there. When he was 80 years old, for the first time, now God was giving him something to do. When he attempted to do something before as a prince in Egypt, it was a total failure. And it was a failure because he was on his own. God was not with him. God did not back up what he was trying to do. He had a good motivation. He was trying to help his people. And I think it was wonderful that he identified with them, that he rejected the treasures of Egypt, we read also in the scriptures, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so that was good. But he was still his own man, doing his own thing, and God was not with him in it. But the time came when God saw that here was a man who had learned the wonderful lesson of being faithful in small things. And lo and behold, in the desert, at the burning bush, he received a promotion from the Lord. And that's wonderful. I think that's so wonderful. So at one moment he was a lowly shepherd of another man's sheep, and the next he was the leader appointed by God to lead the Israelites out of slavery. So it did matter, I believe, how he spent those 40 years. It seemed like he was all by himself. You know, he could have hoodwinked his father-in-law. And he could have said, well, you know, something happened, and you know how things happen. And so we didn't do too well with the sheep this year. People do things like that. But not Moses. He was faithful. He was careful. He did his work properly, even though it was an obscure work that he did. And God saw him and knew that here was a man that he could use. And so he was appointed, first of all, by his father-in-law to look after his sheep, and then finally he was appointed by the Lord. So appointment gives an occasion to prove faithfulness. And that's something that the Lord spoke into my heart. When we speak of faithfulness, especially in regard to something we are doing, we must remember that we should be faithful in the small things. And as we're faithful in the small things, the Lord can promote us. Without appointment, there's no one to whom we can be faithful. And so it is the one who appoints us who is able to say, you have been faithful. So every time occasionally I do hear someone say, well, you know, I've been a faithful servant of the Lord for so many years, I cringe a little bit, because it seems like the Lord is the one who should say that. And it might be appropriate for me to say, I have sought to be faithful to the Lord over the years. But it is really up to the Lord to make that judgment, to say, you have. And that is the desire. That is the longing. And that is what Moses is known for, that he became faithful. He was faithful. That is what the Scripture speaks of him as in Hebrews chapter 3. That's the highlight, that he was faithful, that he was God's servant. The eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth in search of someone he can use. And so he is looking at the small, insignificant things to see if we're faithful in them. In Luke chapter 16, I'd like to turn to that, and we see this principle spelled out by the Lord Jesus. In verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? And so this is the principle that was at work in Moses' life, and this is the principle that is at work in your life and in my life. The Lord is looking for people who are trustworthy, and when he sees that we're trustworthy, well, then he can bring adjustments to the appointment that he has given us, and we can take one step after another according to the purposes of God. So God's epitaph for Moses is found in Hebrews 3. He was faithful as a servant. And what a wonderful epitaph that is. May he one day be able to say to each one of us, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm thinking now of a passage that Brother Eddie referred to a day or so ago in Acts chapter 20, from verse 22 Paul is speaking here, and he says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." It was his passion, it was his desire to be able to complete the task. And then looking back in John chapter 17, Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, he says, "I've completed the work that you gave me to do." And what a wonderful testimony that is, that as he was nearing the cross, as he was ready to come to the cross, he says, "I've completed the work that you've given me to do here." And now he was ready to make his offering. And so in both Jesus and in Moses, we find wonderful examples of faithfulness. And my prayer is that the Lord would put a passion in each one of our hearts, that we would follow the principle that we find here, that even if it might seem a small thing, that we would be faithful in that. In whatever work, whatever secular work, or whatever work that is before you, even after this meeting and stacking or in folding up the green chairs and things like that, well, we have opportunities every day to be faithful in things that are committed to us to do. And may it be our cry and prayer, even as it was in Paul's heart, that we would not only start well, but that we would finish well, that we would complete whatever the Lord gives us to do. And that is my desire and my prayer, that my desire is to be found faithful. Praise God.